You are listening to the Dabbleco podcast. I'm your host, nurse practitioner Claire O'Brien. In healthcare, we have so many questions about what's trending versus what's actually the truth. So on this show, we're going to get to the bottom of it. It's health, it's wellness, it's beauty, explained by the people who actually know what they're talking about. Hey guys, welcome back to the Dabbleco podcast. I am your host, nurse practitioner Claire O'Brien. I am doing an episode today a little bit different than what my norm is, as a follow-up to a guest that I had on last week. So I had a sponsored episode last week with Dr. Greg Brannon from Optimal Bio. And Optimal Bio is a multi-location hormone replacement therapy clinic. And Dr. Brannon is an OBGYN, or was a practicing OBGYN for like 30 years. I don't think, I'm like, is it past tense? Are you ever not that? No, I mean, he is an OBGYN, right? Let me make sure I'm saying that right. And we did an episode last week about bioidentical hormones, hormone replacement therapy, and I got a lot of really interesting feedback. So you saw me ask the question, you know, have you ever felt dismissed in a medical setting, and particularly talking about your hormones? And y'all, the responses that I got were wild. I mean, absolutely unhingery, like off the rails, wild, talking about how dismissed women feel, like very specific stories of, you know, what had happened in during like childbirth or labor, or post baby or perimenopause, menopause. I mean, truly they were wild. But then I also had a lot of feedback that was rightfully so, saying, you know, we're confused. I've had a couple of other menopause type experts come on. I mean, board certified menopause experts come on and talk about hormone replacement therapy. And there is, I would say, kind of a divide is the best way to put it in the medical community. That is a conversation about kind of the normal hormone replacement therapy versus something called bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And, you know, one person said, how are we supposed to know? You know, how are we supposed to know who to believe? You've got people like Jen Gunter, for example, on social media, who are so dogmatically anti anything but what's in the guidelines that they use. They're scaring the crap out of people. And then you've got, you know, kind of the pendulum to swing to the other side, which was a bit of the conversation that I was having with Dr. Brannon. And so I honestly felt like I should talk about it. And I felt like I should kind of give my take on, I guess, where I stand and kind of where I see this conversation being really difficult, not just for women or men who are trying to get help for symptoms that they're having, but even for medical professionals. Honestly, it's really confusing. And I say that because I don't think hormone replacement therapy is the only thing that in medicine right now where there's like a confusing, what are we supposed to do? You know, I think that COVID certainly highlighted that for a lot of us, not just, you know, how to treat it, how to deal with it. What are we doing? You know, isolation guidelines, you know, CDC has changed that again. And now there's like, I'm seeing another big divide. And do we vaccinate? Do we not? Do we get boosters? Do we not? It's just, it's confusing. And so I want you guys to know that you're not the only ones that are confused about a lot of things. And I had a really good conversation this morning with a friend who's going through something with their family and has kind of found out new information from a different trusted source. And they're like, what, you know, what do I do with this information? Anyway, it's just, I hate it because most medical providers that exist in the world, certainly everyone that I know, is really out here doing their best, trying to help patients, you know, as best they can. But anyway, all that to say, so I wanted to kind of break down where the two sides of this like argument, I don't even want to call it an argument, conversation. Let's call it a conversation. The two sides of this conversation, although some people are arguing, Jen Gunter, I'm looking at you, you've got to relax. But the two sides of the conversation. Okay. So I was reading, up to date is this amazing website that you, if you're a medical provider, you can pay a lot of money to be on this website. And it literally gives you the most up-to-date information about any subject in medicine that you can think of. So what it does is it summarizes the data. They give like these kind of position statements and summaries, and they say, well, this organization says this and let's summarize this. Anyway, it's awesome. It's what like everybody uses UpToDate. So I was reading on UpToDate kind of just to try and even figure out why people are anti the, no, okay. I want to back up too. Bioidentical hormones. Is that a marketing term? I honestly, probably, I don't, I mean, so is medical grade skincare, you know, but I do think there are certainly people who can give you better explanations of why it might be used in a different setting. But at the end of the day, like it's just, it's a term. And I don't personally know if quote unquote bioidentical are any safer. I don't think there's any data that shows that, but anyway, I just want to put that out there. So, but we'll just call it that for the sake of this conversation. So I was reading on UpToDate why organizations are against bioidentical hormones. And it comes down to, at least my understanding, it comes down to they're not FDA approved or regulated because they're made in compounding pharmacies, which is how compounding pharmacies is how we get around drug shortages. It's how you can create things that don't exist on a commercial availability. I mean, we use compounding pharmacies all day, every day. We use it in my practice. My husband uses them in his practice. My child takes a medication that is from a compounded pharmacy that is preserving her vision. You know, I mean, like they're critical. So that being said, they're not under the same regulations as like a commercially available drug. So can you, let me just use like Advil, for example. So like the Advil that you buy at the drugstore, the pharmacy, the grocery store, you could, in theory, compound the raw ingredients at a compounding pharmacy, and it's not under the same regulations. Hope that makes sense. So I get it. They're saying, you know, we can't regulate the dosages. There can be really wide variations in what's actually in, whether it's a cream, a pellet, a patch. And I get that. My kind of question comes in, and I believe with pellets, you can't remove them, if I'm correct on that. I think that was another part of conversation I was having with someone, but I understand that. However, I mean, that doesn't just automatic or shouldn't automatically mean that it's unsafe. I mean, we in medicine go outside of FDA approved guidelines all the time, whether it's dosing or whether it's using a medicine in what's called an off-label use. That means that this medicine has been FDA approved for X, Y, and Z, but we also know that it helps A, B, and C, and we can use it in that setting using our appropriate medical decision-making skills, clinical judgment until that day comes when the FDA approves it. And some things even that I do in my practice now may never get FDA approval. There's certain things we do with neurotoxin, with filler. I mean, you guys probably don't even know that. Like there's certain medicines, let me say Dysport, for example. It's one of the most commonly used neurotoxins. Can't get approval for the crow's feet because they keep having, you know, unwanted side effects. Does that mean I think it's unsafe? Absolutely not. I think it's totally fine. And we do it all day, every day. I mean, I don't, I use Zeman, but colleagues do it and it's totally fine. So it's a kind of a catch 22. Does FDA approval make it safe? I mean, not necessarily. Does lack of approval make something unsafe? Like also no. So that's really tricky for me. And I'd love to keep having this conversation. I need to call my friend, Dr. Sabrina Sani. Sabrina, if you're listening, bless it. We need to have episode 3 because we already had 2 episodes. So another part of this conversation that I think is really important, and this comes into kind of where the safety conversation with bioidentical hormones is, that one thing that they were looking at is endometrial cancer rates were rising. Well, this kind of correlates with the timing of this massive study called the Women's Health Initiative that was taken out of context and is now kind of on the brink of being like recalled completely, as far as I understand. This is not my world, so like please don't quote me on this. If this is what you do all day, every day, and you want to come on and talk about it, I would love that. But Women's Health Initiative the way that the study was interpreted and shared, you know, basically scared the crap out of people. And so the correlation of the Women's Health Initiative and bioidentical hormones kind of coming onto the picture, that time frame is kind of the same. And that is around the time that endometrial cancer rates start rising. So is it because of Women's Health Initiative and conventional or synthetic, you know, regular hormone replacement therapy dropping and then the decline in subsequent decline in estrogen? Or is it because of bioidentical hormone prescriptions rising? We don't know. No one's studied that in like a randomized controlled trial. You can't do that at this point. Anyway, so that's really, those are really the two main things that I could find and try to kind of decipher. So I think that what is really important is women are desperate. And the majority of the messages that I got saying, you know, I take hormone replacement therapy, or like it literally changed my life. And so I would say if you are a medical provider and you're listening to, you know, whether it's my podcast, whether you see a reel, whatever it is, and you don't like the conversation about bioidentical hormones and you don't like how they're becoming more and more prevalent and you have good education on that and you want to help the problem, then I would say then your job to get out here and educate your colleagues, because right now they're failing women. It may not be you failing women, but it is your colleagues, our colleagues that are failing us. People are begging for their hormones to be checked in a way that's actually helpful. You know, not just a TSH, a full thyroid panel, thyroid antibody, you know, all this stuff. I'm just using that as an example because it's the one that I understand the best. But you know, you can't check a TSH and tell someone they don't have thyroid problems. That's one data point at one moment of time. That's one small piece of the puzzle. And if you check it and it's normal and you just say, well, your thyroid's normal, you've not really done your due diligence. And I think that we now know that and understand that. And, you know, don't be a Jen Gunter who's out here making enemies along the way and being so, like I said, dogmatic and scaring the crap out of people. And then they're afraid to take any hormones. They can't have good conversations with their providers. She's, you know, trolling other people on the internet. I mean, it's crazy what these like internet warriors are willing to do to make themselves be heard. And they're scaring the crap out of people. So if, you know, you don't get an award because you never practiced outside of guidelines, that's not a thing. The divide that is happening is insanity. And, you know, we in the medical community, you know, gosh, I mean, we're really doing patients a disservice when we're not willing to look at other special, you know, to just say like, oh, functional medicine is all like total BS. And, you know, it's a bunch of like supplements and it doesn't work. And it's not, it's not entirely true. Like, are there plenty of things that are done in functional medicine that are absolute quackery? Sure. But that doesn't mean that it's all BS. You know, my Johns Hopkins team of physicians has handed me a printout of non-FDA regulated supplements that they recommend taking. And does that make them quacks? No, of course not. Like, so it's really frustrating. And I hear both sides. I mean, I hear right now, I'm hearing more from the other side of like, this changed my life. I don't know what I would have done without it. And it just came up because of this episode last week. And people are just like, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I hear people saying, you know, it's not safe. It's not regulated. And I'm just kind of putting it out there. It's like, I would really like and hope that I'm creating a space to continue to have conversations like this, you know, and say, okay, if you're a provider and you don't believe in this type of practice, then what are you doing though? And I understand, you know, yes, I have had a board certified menopause expert on my show. She is in Florida. She is licensed in Florida, and that is it. Like, I don't know anyone around me in the state of South Carolina. Now, that's not to say they're not here. So if you're here and you're a menopause certified expert, you know, board certified, let me know. But all I hear is that women are desperate. Their physicians, their providers don't listen. I hear them being told, you know, your thyroid's abnormal, go gluten free, go dairy free, do the, you know, what in the hell? Like, oh my gosh. Like, I just hear dismissed, 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 and miserable more than I hear the other. And I just think it's just a really tough place for patients. And it's our job to help people navigate both kind of worlds if we can. And right now, I don't think we're doing a very good job. That is my two cents for this week. And I hope it makes sense. Sometimes I feel like Will Ferrell in Old School when he debates James Carville. And at the end, he's like, I just blacked out. I don't know what's happening. So that's a little bit of what just happened. But I'd gotten enough feedback that was so polar opposite that I was like, I've never had feedback like I had after last week. Never. In terms of both, I don't want to say positive and negative, but just like confusion, you know, and both very obviously positive feedback about these types of hormones. And then feedback that's like, hey, you know, somebody said, hey, he never mentioned negative side effects. Well, I mean, shit, guys, it's a sponsored episode. I mean, it's basically a commercial for his medical practice. Like, I don't know that was the appropriate time to do that. So like, maybe he'll come back on and talk about negative side effects. I mean, I don't think there's anything that there's in this universe that exists that there's no negative side effects. You know, you can drown from drinking too much water. Did you know that? It's true. So, you know, of course that is there. And I think that's a conversation that hopefully that practice is having with their patients. And if they're not, then that's a problem, but that's not, I don't know. It's not my necessarily, I don't know that it was the time or place for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should have pushed back and asked about, you know, what are the downsides? What are the negative parts? I'd love to know. Yeah. But I hope that makes sense. And I do. I love feedback. I love hearing from you guys, and I love talking about these things. And I do hope that this is a space where someone can come on and not feel like, oh, I can't be on this girl's podcast because she had so-and-so on and she so clearly, you know, agrees or disagrees with that person that like, I can't go on. I don't really want a podcast like that. I think they already exist. I think you can find as many on either side of which argument you want. And I have always hoped to create kind of a middle ground where we can have honest conversations and say, yeah, we have questions and we don't really know what the right answer is. And sometimes we do know the right answer is sunscreen. Yes, I do know that. I do know that. But anyway, as always, thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope that you will continue listening and rate, subscribe, share, and I'll see you next week.